Welcome to The Blaze. This is episode 261. I am your host, Alejandro Oveda. You have now pushed play to another Blazing Week, and I got to tell you what an amazing week we got going. It has been an awesome week, even though it was raining a little bit during the week. You know, we got kind of stuck in the rainstorms, but still, this week is going to be a nice, sunny, it's going to be a little forecast. You know, the forecast is going to switch up during the week, but this weekend, look forward to just, you know, some nice weather, and then we're going to look towards Monday for some rain, and then throughout the rest of the week, just a little bit of clouds. But it has been nice. I mean, this weather, when the rain really changes that weather outside, and you could actually breathe. I mean, it's amazing. I wake up in the morning with so many mocos in my mouth. I just got to clear it out, and then the rest of the day I'm good. And honestly, my allergies have been pretty decent, but now that I've been looking outside, I've been seeing those white blossoms, those ugly blossoms that I hate every year. Those things are starting to blossom now, and you know, once that starts happening, then my allergies start going crazy. But right now, I've been really good, and I've been feeling really good. But I do hate those stinky ass those blossoms. I don't know what happens right when that stuff starts growing. I just get terrible. You take one whiff of it, it smells like, I don't know, it smells like fish in a way. You know, you ever walk past those things and you're just like, God damn, I hate the smell of those. I hate, you know, being around those. But it always happens during the springtime. And for some reason, every house on my street has these damn trees. And especially me, I have these on my own property too, but God damn, I hate them. But they say that they are pear flowers, and they do have an unpleasant smell due to the chemicals that are released, such as trimethylene and dimethylene, which gives the plant that fishy smell. I really wanted to check into this because, you know, every time I feel like, I don't know why, but I get sick when I'm outside too often with those trees around. I feel like for some reason I get bad. So I always try to like walk around them or even just stay away from them as much as possible, but just because of that smell, that smell that they have, it's not a good smell, but it definitely does awaken your senses as you could see them, you could feel that weather starting to change, and that springtime is right around the corner, and that's a part of a part of Fresno that I love. And part of the Central Valley that I love, because, you know, there's a place here called the Blossom Trail, which, if you have never been to the Blossom Trail, make sure you guys go out there. There's a bunch to really look at. There's a lot to really take in. But one place that I like to drive through is that Blossom Trail. I think it takes you from Clovis all the way out to Sanger. And you can learn more about that Blossom Trail if you go to online and check it out. But for sure, every year, me and my wife like to do this, and we have not yet, but we'll probably take some time this weekend, maybe go take a drive out there and go check out the blossoms. But this is probably about the best time of the year to go out there. I know tons of people take pictures around there, but if you do take pictures, make sure, you know, you're not messing with the blossoms, if you're not getting on people's property. But this is a great, great time to really go out there and take some pictures. And like I said, it goes all the way out from Clovis to Sanger, I believe. And this is a self-guided tour. And this is, like I said, probably the best part of Fresno is this time of year is the Blossom Trail, because this is California's heartland. This is what feeds the whole world. You know, Fresno is a place that feeds the whole world. So I love to take the advantage, go out to go see the blossom season. And the blossom season, like I said, begins toward the end of February, which is right around this time. And it goes all the way through May, through April. But for the best time of the year. Make sure you guys plan to visit during this time. And of course, right around fall time too, you see the leaves also changing. But for photo and art opportunities, this is a great thing for local visitors. You know, maybe you're from the Bay or you're from LA, you need to take some good pictures. This is a great way to get some great pictures of your Central Valley. And a lot of people that have taken pictures from the Blossom Trail have won a lot of different art contests, but definitely check it out. And if you're looking for, just anything else, I know they have restaurants, they have pubs and stuff around that area, so there's a lot to do if you're going that way this weekend. But the weather is perfect for it. That's why I wanted to just talk about it. You know, if it wasn't for fishing, you know, that's like my niche right now. I just love fishing, and this is the time to fish. But the Blossom Trail is probably one thing that I would probably do this weekend if I had the chance to. So if you guys have any time, if you guys are, got some free time, and you guys want to take some great pictures, like I'm telling you, this is a great time to do it. Usually around the beginning of February, it's pretty, pretty good. But right around the 1st of March and then right into the middle of March is probably the prime time. But I like going during the first part of February, or the last part of February, just because it's my wife's birthday, Valentine's Day. It's really romantic, and I just take the chance to go out there and experience it for yourself. But I'm just happy that you guys push play this week. You know, we got a lot to talk about. We got, All-Star Game. We got baseball coming up. We got a lot of things going on in the city. And I just hope that you guys are sticking around. Hopefully, you guys, been listening to the podcast already. But if you haven't, I just want to let you guys know this podcast is available every Thursday. We drop a new episode every Thursday. So make sure you guys are active. Make sure you guys are listening. Make sure you guys are sharing the podcast with someone new, so the family member, someone that hasn't heard of the podcast before. But make sure you guys always check out every Thursday. We always have a new episode, and we haven't missed a Thursday for 261 days, or 261 Thursdays, so that's a big feat, and we're just trying to keep it active. So make sure you guys are having a great week, and make sure you guys stick around for the rest of the podcast. And this week, I was able to listen to a lot of different music, but I wanted to talk about an interesting album that I listened to this week by Kanye West and Ty Dolla $ign, as they dropped their latest Vultures 1, which is known as the collective as Anti-Dollar Sign, and it was released independently through West Yeezy Brand on February 10th, 2024. But the album doesn't really have any credits throughout the album, but they have a lot of desk vocals, especially from Kanye West's daughter, Freddie Gibbs, YG, Quavo, Playboi Carti, Travis Scott, Lil Durk, Chris Brown. And there was some great production on the album as well. JPEG Mafia, 88 Keys, Timbaland, No ID, and tons of other ones. But the album follows both artists' 2021 studio albums, Donda and Cheers to the Best Memories, and marks their third collaborative album for each of them. So this is a great album to listen to. I think it was only like an hour long, about 20F songs. But the one thing that really stuck with me was just the production on this album, especially with the way that Kanye drops his music. There's always multiple delays, always changes to the track list. I think other times while he dropped this album, there was different versions of it. And there were definitely different versions because they were listening to it at these events to promote the album, which included like a multi-stadium listening event concert, and also they ended up having like a pop-up event listening event Super Bowl Sunday in Las Vegas. But what was great about this album was like just the way that they were to come together and create something like this. I'm not gonna say it's it's the best Kanye or best, you know, Ty Dolla $ign album. But one thing for sure is the production is legit. And definitely, it has a lot of bops that you can definitely listen to. The one thing about Vultures is it does have that hip-hop essence. But for some reason, the way that it is put together, it's a lot of house and trap with a lot of gospel and kind of rugged R&B. I don't know what you would call it. Just it's a whole different type of sound for the R&B. But I liked it. You know, I liked this album, and I was listening to it during my workouts. But one thing for sure is it gets a little complex when it comes to the lyrics with the production. If I were just to get these beats and maybe even have just someone else on these tracks, maybe I could get through it. But I am a Kanye listener, so during the workout, I was kind of like, I have to change it just because it was getting my ear, it was getting into my thoughts, you know. So I definitely had to change it, but I definitely would suggest listen to this album. You know, for me, Kanye is more than just an artist. You know, he's an enigma. He's definitely an enigma in this world. I don't know how he could create and still, you know, progress in a way where, you know, if it's not his merch, it's his music. If it's not his music, you know, it's his. It's some way, somehow he always comes up with new and fresh things. So I'm looking forward to, you know, maybe another Vultures 2 or Vultures 3. And I heard that they might have a release on those slated, you know, March 8th and April 5th. But that is just Kanye. You know, we never know how he drops his music. He always has these finishing touches, which, you know, sometimes I think as an artist, you might not think your masterpiece is complete. You know, so he's always changing. And one thing for sure is he's always a top artist, always dropping great, you know, production. So I definitely wanted to listen to this one and let you guys know this is a great album to listen to. And if you're looking for a great album, make sure you check out Vultures 1 featuring Kanye West and Ty Dolla $ign. My favorite songs off the album were Vultures, Talking, and Carnival. So if you guys want to check it out, make sure you do on all DSPs, and let me know what you guys are listening to this week. And this week I was able to watch a lot of different documentaries and a lot of different shows, but I want to talk about the new Vince Staples show on Netflix. And this is season one, and I think it only has 5 episodes, but it was released on February 15, 2024. And I just wanted to talk about it because it is a limited drama series and created by Vince Staples. And the question is really, who is Vince Staples? Well, that's really a good question because he's famous, but he's not. He's rich, but he's not. You know what I mean? Like, not very many people know who Vince Staples is. To me, he is a rap artist, you know, he is a great artist, and he comes from, he is from Long Beach, California, and he's known for his association from, you know, California-based rap. His whole kind of swag is West Coast. One thing for sure is he worked with tons of artists, including Mac Miller, including Talib Kweli. The list goes on. Earl Sweatshirt, Odd Future, some of the more West Coast style artists. But he has been coming out with new music lately, the last few years, and I think a lot more people have been gravitating towards it, especially because I feel like his music is made for, like, movies, you know? Like, he kind of creates scores instead of really, like, actual rap music, you know? It's kind of intriguing the way that he does his style of music, but he really rose to prominence with appearances, like I said, by Odd Future. And then he ended up doing a lot of different things on his own, making sure that, you know, his brand is something that is on the come up. And this is actually the follow-up from his Big Fish Theory album, FM, Ramona Park Broke My Heart. I think there's like four great albums that he came out with back to back to back that really diversified what he is as an artist. But Staples music is often, like I said, described as that West Coast hip hop. But often I really consider him more of a conscious rapper. You know, he also has hits that make you want to dance. He also has stuff that really has electronic influences. But really, outside of his career, though, I felt like he was always gifted, not only with his music, but writing. His lyrics are amazing, and that's why I really wanted to take a chance on this show, because he really could make you, the viewer, the person that, you know, is watching the show, especially for someone that may not know him, and he makes you laugh about it, you know, makes you laugh about just his journey. I think this is what makes the show great, and especially because he brings his neighborhood around. You know, he allows you to connect with some of his other characters in his show that are his family. You know, like his mom. His mom is really a proud woman, and she takes pride in what she does. And I'm not going to give away the show, so I just want you guys to watch it. But, you know, you really get into these episodes, and you get to see who each character is and why they are connected to Vince Staples. And most of the time, you know, it's because of the money that he makes, and because he's in a family situation where, you know, it's hard to get out of their struggle. And people look at him and they see him as, you know, a way out, or maybe an answer to a way out. You know, one thing for sure is the show is, I think it takes you into the culture of where he is from, you know, and takes you into just some of the situations he might have to go through just by being successful in a neighborhood like Long Beach. So I take a chance on this one. I would say, you know, I'd rate this one probably like a good 8 out of 10, or a 4 out of 5, because the humor in this show just continues to get me. And my favorite episode has to be the episode about the barbecue with his family, where he doesn't even know half of his family, and they're already asking him for money, or, you know, stuff like that. It's just a good show to watch, especially if you have nothing to watch. There's only 5 episodes, and I think the episodes are only like 20 to 30 minutes, so it's a quick watch. So let me know what you guys are watching this week, and I just advise you, check out that Vince Staples show. It's a great one to watch. Different in this week, I just want to talk about how Fresno County supervisors are approving changes to zoning around Fresno County, and this will soon have changes to Fresno County zoning, which will now be new zoning that will impact multifamily developments that are designed, the locations of emergency shelters and proposed community North State Route of 180, and much more. And county officials say it's been a balancing act to meet with county's many needs while complying with state laws and directives. But while all 5 county supervisors supported this new plan on Tuesday, some residents have urged the board to reconsider the plan and make changes. I think, you know, these new plans focuses too much on these potential, you know, development opportunities, such as you know, these newer places that they're trying to open, especially that the county, you know, needs to really focus on addressing the needs of existing disadvantaged areas, such as, you know, Kalawa, Pinedale, other areas that need a little bit more development. But there are also concerns how the county analyzed the new plans and the impact on the environment. So these other impacts that aren't addressed through this, you know, whole thing is more about agriculture and land preservation, along with water quality and the supply of wildlife habitat. And these are, you know, environmental issues. Not only are they, you know, going to affect us in the long run, but they're going to affect the habitat that we live around as well, especially around, you know, North Fresno and outskirt of Fresno. But those comments and many other comments come from, you know, these supervisors, as the county is trying to work on a plan, and they're not trying to stop. You know, they're going to make an issue of everything, of why they need to make these kinds of changes. And, you know, I think these changes will probably occur in the next year, but the general plan right now is effective, and the zoning changes won't go into effect for, I think they said, for another month or so. But this is going to be a crazy thing, especially with how Fresno is growing up north, and especially down south, east and west. We've been seeing a lot more new development. So it's going to be crazy to see where a lot of this is going to go, especially when it comes to voting, when it comes to, you know, school districts. So I'm just wondering how a lot of these policies are going to, you know, take effect to each place in Fresno. I think it's going to be a little different change, but maybe it might be a good change. I'm not too sure. I just wanted to let you guys know what was happening and what was going to go on after, you know, a 400-page zoning directives. I'm not too sure exactly the details, but I know the board is definitely urged to make these kinds of changes, and it's definitely going to change as we see. Like I said, we're growing in every direction, but we have to still make sure that, you know, a lot of these places that are underdeveloped, like I said, Pinedale, Kalawa, we have a lot of places on the west side, you know, that need help in redevelopment, and hopefully they get, you know, the opportunity for that, and hopefully they're not forgotten. So I just want to let you guys know what was going on. And this week, I just want to talk about a great event that Full Circle Brewing is going to be hosting. And this is going to be the Black History Month Party and Barbecue Cook-Off. And this is their third annual event, which is great. It's going to be on February 24, 2024. And I just want to let you guys know about it, because it's going to be a big day for barbecue, especially as they're going to have a barbecue competition. And the competition is going to be great, as some of Fresno's best barbecue spots will be competing. And then there will also be live performances from some of Fresno's best artists here. We got Omar Ara performing, Otis Reed, MC Wicks, DJ Alex, and then they'll be having Planet Asia to seal off the deal. But I just hope that you guys don't miss this celebration. It's going to be all ages. I think the barbecue competition starts around 12 o'clock, and then the concert part starts around 5 p.m. So this is going to have food, live music, live performances, games, prizes, and you guys can get tickets right now. I think right now the tickets are only $5 to $20. So make sure you guys check out this great event. It's going to be celebrating Black History Month, along with a great live performance, like I said, of Omar Ara, Otis Reed, MC Wicks, and Planet Asia. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be at Full Circle Brewing, and that's 712 Fulton Street, Fresno, California. And this is a great way to celebrate Black History Month. Now let's talk about our Fresno State men's basketball team, as they have an overall record of 11-15 with a conference record of 4-9. The Dogs are ninth in the Mountain West Conference. And this week they had a game against Boise State, which they lost 66-90. And they ended up losing on the road, but they were led by Isaiah Pope, who had 17 points and threw out 2 assists and 1 steal. The Dogs will have a big game this weekend versus San Diego State, and that will be here at the Save Mart Center. And then they'll have another game on Tuesday, February 27th, against Utah State, and that will also be at home. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State men's basketball team. Now let's talk about our women's Fresno State basketball team, as they have a record of 14-14 and a conference record of 7-8. And they are currently right now 8th in the Mountain West Conference. And last week, the Dogs had a big game at home versus San Jose State, which they ended up winning 74-59. And the Dogs were led by Kylie Fox, who scored 15 points, grabbed 3 rebounds, and threw out 1 assist. Then the Dogs had a second game over the week, and they played Nevada at home, and the score was 57-45. They got the victory. And the Dogs were led by Mia Jacobs, who had 19 points, grabbed 12 assists, or grabbed 12 rebounds. And the Dogs will have a big game this weekend versus Boise State. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State women's basketball team. Now let's talk about our Fresno State baseball team, as they started their 2024 season last week. They had a 3 home game series against Milwaukee, and in their first home game, they had the win 7-3. Then their second game, they got another win 9-3. Then their third game, they got their third win 2-0. Then the Dogs ended up on the road against Sacramento State and lost 6-8. But the Dogs will be in action on Friday, February 23rd against Fullerton, and they'll actually have a 3-game series against Fullerton February 23rd through the 25th. That'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then the Dogs will have another series next week, which will start their Mountain West Conference series against San Diego State. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State baseball team. Now let's talk about our Fresno State softball team, as they have a record of 7-4. And this week, the Dogs were in the 2024 Fresno State Invitational, and they had 4 games. The first game, they ended up playing against Utah Valley, which they lost 2-6. Then they ended up playing Oregon State, and they beat Oregon State 8-0. Then they had another game against Oregon State, which they lost 2-3. And then the Dogs ended up losing against St. Mary's 4-7. And then the Dogs played St. Mary's again. They lost 1-0. And then Sacramento State, they won 6-2. And this week, the Dogs will be in the 2024 Mary Nutter Collegiate Classic. And they'll end up taking on Hawaii on Friday, Mississippi State on Saturday, Long Beach State on Sunday, and then they'll have a doubleheader on Sunday against Cal Poly. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State softball team. Now let's talk about our Fresno Monsters, as they have their last 3 games of the season. But the Monsters had a tremendous, tremendous season, as they had 39 wins and 4 losses. What a great season for the Fresno Monsters, as they now will start playoffs after this, but they have their 3-game away, as they will go against the Las Vegas Thunder Friday, February 23rd through February 25th. And that will be a great, great series, as hopefully they will get 3 wins to, you know, seal the deal for the season. But they will start playoffs after. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno Monsters. All right, now let's talk about the NBA, as we had All-Star 2024. What a great weekend. I mean, it was as great as I think it was going to be. One thing for sure is this is a weekend that me and my wife love, love, love to watch. And every year we end up, you know, finding ourselves in front of a TV, watching the dunk contest, watching the 3-point contest. And this year, it kind of failed us this year, I felt like. There was a lot of great moments in All-Star Weekend. You know, just a few to name is just, I liked Steph versus Sabrina, the 3-point contest, which, you know, we all knew that Steph was probably going to be winning in that situation, but I felt like it was a great thing to see a WNBA versus an NBA three-point challenge, and they should start doing that more often. I think this was a great start of it, and I felt like, you know, Steph Curry, once he got on the court, you know, he took the show over. But Sabrina Ionescu she ended up hitting 26, as I think Curry ended up right at the end hitting 29. But this was a great event, as you know, they ended up shooting for their foundations. But Curry, right at the end, hit a few balls with all money rack, as he was down by six. You know, he in the beginning he misfired his first couple few. I think the first four shots he ended up missing, but the friendly, you know, competition between them was entertaining, and I think, you know, Curry and Ionescu hinted that they want future battles after this kind of event ended up taking place over the weekend. I think this is going to be a great one, especially if they end up doing it next year, if Caitlin Clark might get into it, and then they'll have Ionescu back in it there in San Francisco for the All-Star game next year. But the other thing that came away from All-Star weekend was Dame Lillard. You know, me and my wife, we ended up putting in a few bets with Price Picks, which we ended up hitting pretty big off of just, you know, $5 bets. But Dame Lillard was one that my wife really wanted to bet on, that I told her, you know, stay away from that one, because I don't think he was going to, you know, he was going to do good. But he ended up having a great All-Star weekend. He ended up getting, you know, the MVP for the All-Star game, which he ended up shooting lights out the whole game. And then he also became the first NBA player to win the three-point contest and MVP of the All-Star game. So Lillard joined Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, Glenn Rice, and Larry Bird as the only players to capture both of these awards. But the NBA All-Star Game Kobe Bryant Award was given to Lillard after his seventh All-Star Game as a member. You know, he was a member of the All-Star Game in the Western part for the last 7 years until being traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. And now he was part of the East this year after scoring 39 points in the All-Star game. So he ended up getting the All-Star MVP, which he ended up scoring 22 points with 8 of 13 shooting. So it was a great weekend. Like I said, the only thing I wish that would happen in the All-Star game is they made it more competitive. I think, you know, the last few years was more competitive than it was this year. Just the way that they implemented, you know, just not trying to get hurt. I don't know if I feel like I want to see that, you know, but going with the positive things over the weekend, let's talk about, you know, the dunk contest, which, you know, you got another repeat champion of Mac McClung, who ended up, in my opinion, he should be in the league. And I know the Lakers drafted him into the league, and I wish the Lakers could keep him, or we had some kind of room for him. But he ended up having such a great night with his winning dunk, the Mac-a-Shaq, which he ended up jumping over Shaq, who is 7'1". And this is a great dunker. If you have not seen Mac McClung, what a dunk he had for his first dunk, which he ended up doing like a double tap reverse dunk, which, in my opinion, like, you got to get some of these judges in the dunk contest to judge the contest right. That was definitely a 10 off the bat, and they ended up giving him like a 48 or 46. I'm not too sure what it was. But his final dunk against Shaq, he definitely did a great job with that one. And like, and the 3-point contest, like I said, Lillard ended up getting that, shooting lights out. I think he got 26 in the championship round to win. But All-Star in Indianapolis was not it. I'm usually more psyched, and you know, I'm not saying like these games are amazing or anything, but it's a great way to see your favorite players in a pickup style game against some of the best players among the world. So, you know, I know throughout the whole event they were shouting out Oscar Robertson, which, you know, they were praising him because he is a Indiana raised player that, you know, he needs to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I know he's an NBA Hall of Famer. But he is getting a lot older, and so they wanted to celebrate him. They wanted to celebrate, you know, Reggie Miller, who ended up signing with TNT for another, I think, 5 years with some big money. And they also were celebrating Larry Bird, who is also an Indiana player. And Indiana is known for, you know, basketball. So it was, I thought it was going to be a better All-Star weekend than it was, but you know, I just feel like the All-Star game needs to get a revamp somehow, some way. We could get some players that really want to play and prove it, or we could maybe switch it up and have like a All-Star one versus one, you know, tournament, King of the Court kind of style, or I'm not too sure, something that will interest people more and maybe help these players stay competitive, but also maybe not get them hurt, you know. And I think that's what their complaints are, you know, their salaries are $30 to $300 million. Like, you can't, you know, compete in the one little All-Star game. I don't know, man. It was just really bad. I didn't know what to really think about the All-Star game this year because I am an avid All-Star game viewer. Like, I love watching it. But another great moment was the rookie challenge. You know, I think that was a great thing, as Wembanyama ended up having a great, you know, rising star moment. He ended up becoming the Kia Skills Challenge MVP, and it was just a great weekend at all. I just hope that they revamp that All-Star game. It was almost hard to bear, especially in the fourth quarter when you think, you know, the guys will get more competitive when, you know, the game is going to go up to 200 points. You thought you would see a little bit more competition towards the end of the game. But besides that, it was a great one. And, you know, I'll still watch it. I'll still support it. I just think the NBA really needs to change their view on what the All-Star game is looking like. Because I feel like they're starting to really gravitate to the younger crowd now. They're trying to make things more techie. You know, like the court situation was kind of, just go back to the hardwood. You know, you could do all those graphics digitally. You don't really need to have the court become its own kind of computer. But it was great to see, you know, at least them try, you know, and try to make it an experience. But for next year, I just hope in San Francisco, they just keep it basic and they could maybe offer players that want to play some money, maybe $1 million. I don't know what they would do with the money. It doesn't even matter. I feel like they still wouldn't take it as serious as it should be. But All-Star Weekend 2024 had some great moments, and it also had some disappointing moments. But I just can't wait for the rest of the NBA season, as we will talk about that in the next weeks, as we have only NBA until MLB starts. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on the NBA. Now let's talk about the MLB, as the MLB 2024 season will be starting March 20 through 21st, as they will have the Dodgers and the Padres face off in Seoul, Korea, North Korea, for their opening week. And a week later, all 30 clubs will be slated to play on opening day. That will be Thursday, March 28th. And the regular season will wrap up on Sunday, September 29th, with the 94th All-Star Game presented by MasterCard, set for July 16th. The CL Series, though, is just one of the number of, I think, exciting contests, especially with the Dodgers and the Padres doing this for the first time ever. And then I think the Rays and the Red Sox will have another meeting in the Dominican Republic, which they'll have a series during spring training. That will be March 9th through the 10th. And then in Mexico City, they'll have a series between the Astros versus the Rockies. That will be April 27th through the 28th. And then they'll have a London series, which the Mets will face off against the Phillies. And that will be June 8th through the 9th. So this is some highlights that the MLB will be hosting, you know, in other countries, which I think is a great thing for the game, and especially for MLB fandom, because you know, I think their reach is global, so they're really hitting it everywhere they can on different parts of the world, which, you know, I think it's a great thing. But other highlights will be two planned doubleheaders, Rangers at A's on May 8th, which the Rockies at Giants on July 27th, and a special game in Birmingham, Alabama between the Cardinals and the Giants at Rickwood Field, the oldest professional baseball park in the U.S., and that is the home of a former Negro Leagues Birmingham Black Barons. So all teams will also play on Jackie Robinson Day, April 15th, Lou Gehrig Day, June 2nd, and the 4th of July, and Roberto Clemente Day on September 15th. So these are just some times, some highlights you want to be looking out for the MLB season, which will be coming up as soon as possible. I mean, we're almost there. So we'll be talking MLB. We'll be talking, you know, a lot more baseball coming soon. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze podcast for more. But I want to thank you for pushing play this week and every week. Every time you guys push play, it gives a ton of support to this independent podcast. So make sure you guys continue to share it, continue to listen, continue to just believe in the podcast. And, you know, I'm just saying it right now. I'm trying to get into the Blaze Talks. You know, my time right now has been valuable elsewhere, but I am trying to get into those Blaze Talks. Hopefully we get one soon. I just want you guys just continue to support the podcast. Just make sure you let everybody know the podcast is here every Thursday, and we have not missed a podcast on a Thursday in 261 Thursday. That's crazy to think. So make sure you guys keep tuning in, and make sure you guys are having a great week. Make sure you guys support all your local businesses, support all your local artists, and make sure you support all your local podcasts. I'm Alejandro Oveda, signing off episode 261.